Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Ian, Nobody, and Chris joining you here tonight. You can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. And by the way, big thanks to our Free Talk Live supporters and our AMPS program, like Jessica, who is a platinum level supporter, meaning Jessica is doing at least $25 per month through our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. Is a way for you to directly support us, or at least as directly as you can, because I can't take cryptocurrency at the moment, thanks to my bail conditions, but you can still send us dollars, and of course you have to have somebody to process that, and in this case it's Patreon, so head over to amps.freetalklive.com if you want to get signed up. It's as little as $5 a month. Jessica's doing five times that, so thank you, Jessica, for stepping up to that level. Definitely appreciate that. You get some perks as well, like access to the AMP Only podcast, which has the full radio show without the recorded commercials, over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And for those of you that do not want to support Patreon, you can join our Odyssey subscriptions. And there have been actually a few people who've signed up through Odyssey. In fact, one guy left our Patreon because he didn't really like Patreon, but he still wanted to support us. Now he's supporting us on Odyssey instead, which is pretty cool. So it gives you a choice.
That is really awesome.
Yeah, who you want to use. You know, it's still credit card. It's still, you know, they're doing the old payment systems, but that's all we can take at the moment. So once again, head over to our, if you want to do the Odyssey version, just go to video.freetalklive.com and click the join button. It's up there at the top of the page. So once again, that's video.freetalklive.com.
You know, one of the problems is Patreon, I believe, is a left-leaning platform that's kicked off a lot of libertarians.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely something if you can move away from, I would encourage it.
Well, I mean, we'll just keep it going until, you know, the time runs out.
I'm not saying you should.
Yeah,
you know, what I'm saying is individuals, if you want to contribute, considering taking a look at the Odyssey
is definitely a better, like, more freedom-friendly platform.
Yeah.
But then again, Patreon's got some other features that Odyssey doesn't have, so they gotta go. They both got their ups and their downs.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Pick your poison, okay? So, we continue here. We got Sarah on the line. You're on Free Talk Live, calling from New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I just heard on the news that in the New Orleans, they banned serving soda pop to children. So that's going to be
serving
a new law.
Soda pop, meaning a child cannot order a soda at a fast food or restaurant or a 7-Eleven or something like that.
I don't know what the details are. That's what I was told. So that if the kids, they don't order soda pop, the parents order it for them, right?
I've gone into places before as a child, like a 7-Eleven, and purchased my own soda. I certainly didn't need my parents in order to do that there.
I bought a lot of Big Gulps.
Yeah, I can't imagine that you would necessarily need to be have an adult buy something for you. If you go young enough, I guess maybe, but...
Okay. Well, I think weren't they trying to do this at a restaurant in California? I don't know. They were trying to do this somewhere before.
Yeah, has been proposals like this. Apparently, this is affecting restaurants, according to NOLA.com. So I don't know if convenience stores are going to be included in this. A story from actually in January. So you're a little late to the party with this one, Sarah, on this news, but... This is what they're calling the Healthy Kids Meal Beverage Ordinance.
Is this like a city ordinance?
That's what it's sounding like here. I actually had to pull up a different site because NOLA's loaded up with blocking mechanisms here. New Orleans diners will have to go off menu if they want to order soft drinks with kids' meals, according to an ordinance by the city health department and passed unanimously by the New Orleans City Council
earlier in January, in late December. The measure went into effect January 1st. Restaurants will be able to serve water, milk, or fruit juice, which, by the way, fruit juice isn't that much better than soda, just for the record. It's loaded with sugar in a lot of cases. With kids' meals by default, according to the Times-Picayune, it's part of an effort to give children healthier food and beverage options and reduce rates of childhood obesity.
You know the crazy thing about that is they have the options already. It's not like parents can't, this is the nanny state, right? It's the whole thing about being a parent is, you parent, but the state is like taking away, that from the people. It just seems crazy. Are you in favor of this?
Of course she is. But yes, please, Sarah, tell us all about it, Sarah.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely in favor of this because most parents, they don't even know what to do for their own health, because their parents, their grandparents, or whoever raised them, gave them diabetes and fed them a bunch of soda pop.
So then you would agree that this doesn't, in your opinion, this ordinance doesn't go far enough. You would say probably that the parents themselves should be prohibited from ordering soda.
Well, I mean, they're grown now, but the thing is that when they were children...
But don't you care about the parents? I mean, shouldn't the parents also be forced into this scheme, into these restrictions, where they also will have decisions made for them by the city council?
Well, the thing is, by the time... Not really, but there's a lot of information out there that sort of pops that. But if you're a grown adult, then people kind of leave it up to them to make a decision. But children, they just do what's put before them. And that's what they're trying to protect.
Hey, Sarah, you know what else is bad is, driving buses, right? I mean, when you get on a bus, you're not walking, and, exercise is good.
It's true.
I mean, would you be in favor of banning buses?
No, but I have to walk quite a bit.
But why not?
What would inconvenience her?
Why is it okay, to ban parents or, from giving their kid, I don't know, Coke or Pepsi or Coke or whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
Pop, okay? They call it Pop, I believe, in that part of the country. But it's not okay, to get rid of the buses
and make you walk. There are times that people have to ride the bus for 10 miles, 15 miles, 5 miles.
But wouldn't that just make you healthier?
Great exercise.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes us all healthier.
I mean, look how fat people are in the United States. There's so many fat people in the U.S. today compared to just, 40 years ago or whatever. If people walked a little bit more often, it'd probably be good for them, wouldn't it, Sarah?
Well, it's better to stop drinking all that soda pot they've been advertised to drink.
Wouldn't it be better, Sarah, if we just just encouraged personal responsibility?
Right, but people, the soda pop, I would like to sue the soda pop companies for exploiting people's ignoramus. I mean, the ignorance.
Okay,
not properly educated.
Are you seriously telling me that there's people out there who don't understand that, junk food is bad for them?
Well, a lot of people use Tide and ammonia and Clorox, and it's very toxic. But that's because it's put on the market, they go out and buy it just because it's legal. So the thing is that they advertise, over-advertise, and then they entice children with all of this pop that they have to have it with a meal, and it causes diabetes and obesity, and people have seen that. So there's ways that that we could curtail this. And
do you buy things you don't like just because they're legal?
Well, I mean, no. People that they're being sued because they know they have benzene, they have formaldehyde, all these things toxic, and they put it on the shelf. They know it's toxic, and then they advertise on television commercial, and these companies are being sued right now.
Sarah,
and I wish that they would sue the soda pop companies for over advertising to people all this junk.
You do understand that, sugar is an essential part of, your diet. You need it to survive.
That's the difference between natural sugar found in honey and molasses. Natural.
She's
sugar
right about that.
Hold on. Let's back up.
That's what they're
okay, so
I'm not a big fan of the sugar.
Let's back up. It's calories, right? And calories, you burn calories, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is it's the overindulgence that's the problem that leads to diabetes. It's not
the sugars, okay? It's not the junk food. It's having too much of it. Mm-hmm. And the only way to solve that problem is personal responsibility, teaching personal responsibility.
You can just ban it and pass laws and put people in prison cells.
Well, the problem is if you make it so that every moron who's born survives and breeds, then you're eventually your entire society will be filled with people who aren't good for anything if they can't even make their own decisions.
Look at it from a different scenario, a little bit different perspective, Sarah. If you ban calories, we all die. Calories are generally bad, right? But they're not really. It's eating too many calories, right? They're necessary. Yeah.
Okay, are you a doctor? There's a difference between...
Are you a doctor?
Fine sugar.
This is like elemental stuff, Sarah. You don't need to be a doctor to understand this stuff.
Sarah's not a doctor either, for the record.
Right.
I mean, I don't have it healthy, but I've been reading a lot of research. If you eat an apple, if you eat a watermelon, if you eat a corn, you get the sugar, but it's natural sugar from the fruit and vegetables.
That's true. That's absolutely true. That's better. There's no doubt. There's better sugars. There's better ways to get your sugars, and that's absolutely the truth. So the question is, Sarah, do you think people should be free to make choices for themselves? It sounded like you said yes when it came to adults, but you don't believe that's true of children. Why?
Well, because... if you have ignorant parents and they're making the decisions for you, you don't know anything. Maybe an adult, that's the unfair part of it.
And you think that the business owners, just to clarify, Sarah, you think these business owners should be threatened with potential jail time for serving children the things that they ask for?
Well, they don't know what to ask for. They just eat what they're...
Right, but you think they should be going to jail? Do you think that the restaurateur, the person that owns the restaurant, should go to jail over this?
Well, I think they'll be fined to change the behavior.
What happens if you don't pay the fine?
Feed all this garbage.
But what happens if you get a fine, Sarah, and you don't pay the fine, then what happens?
Well, I guess I don't know what the state of New Orleans does.
What do you think they do?
So we don't go to jail. We got 5,000 people running around with Mormons. I mean, they catch them and they release them. So they don't go to jail here, but maybe in the New Orleans, they will put them in jail.
Yeah, well, what's going to happen is they're going to be told that if they don't pay the fine, they will have their licenses suspended. And then if they continue to operate their business... under a suspended license, men with guns will show up and they will take them and put them in handcuffs and take them to jail and charge them with something.
There was a very public example of this happening during COVID.
Multiple examples.
New Jersey, with a guy in New Jersey who refused to pay the fine and closed up his shop. And they eventually came and they threw him in a cage.
They took. You're talking about the gym owners?
Yeah.
Yeah, not only did they throw them in a cage, they actually tapped their bank account and stole $160,000, if I'm correct.
Wow.
And destroyed their lives. They're now felons. As a result of this protest, and he just got out of jail recently, if I recall correctly, because they arrested him more than once in that situation. I could be wrong about when he got out of jail, but he was arrested on more than one occasion in that case. But that's the reality of it, Sarah. I mean, you can sit there and fantasize about how you want to control what children are going to eat and drink, but the reality is irresponsible parents are going to continue to be irresponsible even though a restaurant says to them, according to PBS.org in a report filed this month, the restaurants in New Orleans, and again, this is just in the city of New Orleans at the moment. There are some other cities across the country that are doing something similar. But they must now offer an unflavored, unsweetened, or non-carbonated water, non-fat, or 1% milk. So whole milk's too dangerous for these kids. Mm-hmm. Can't offer that to them. Or a 100% juice drink option if they offer any children's meals at the restaurant. So there's nothing that's going to prohibit parents from stopping off at Walmart after they go to the restaurant and grabbing a 24-pack of Mountain Dew or Coca-Cola or whatever, bringing it home and letting the kids go to town. Nothing at all.
Well, you know what? A little bit incremental is better than nothing.
A little bit of tyranny, a little bit of the nanny state. Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah. I appreciate it. Yeah, I am glad she brought the issue up because it's a story I was not aware of. I know that these prohibitions continue to be, coming up in places like New York City. And
yeah, elsewhere. This is actually, I think, one of the best stories Sarah's ever brought up on the show.
Best as in worst, but yes. Talking about.
Right, yeah. It's interesting, right?
Yeah,
it's not like,
it is.
I don't know, it's not like the buses or whatever she's always going on about, right?
Yeah,
it's really interesting, and it's also a very clear example of the nanny state.
Yeah. I'm just looking here at the story from PBS. They say that Louisiana has one of the highest rates of childhood obesity in the nation for kids between the ages of 10 and 17, ranking third in the nation at 22%, according to a 2022 State of Obesity report. Of course, the fact that kids are staying inside on electronic devices constantly, they're not going out and getting exercise the way they used to, probably is playing a factor here. Nutrition. Good.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. One of the things about Louisiana and New Orleans, especially, is there's a lot of poverty there.
You did have a business there one time, so you've actually got some experience.
Yeah, exactly. And that poverty often is what leads to people eating less nutritious foods.
Right.
And it's not so much an issue of necessarily that parents are like not. Directing their kids to healthier foods, is they don't have the money for it.
Well, I mean, that could be true, but it's certainly not true when it comes to drinking soda. I mean, obviously, water's cheaper than soda, so
sure.
There's really no excuse for going and buying 24 packs of soda when you could just not buy them, right? So there's an addiction problem that the parents have, and they are passing along to their children.
The assumption here is that that parents are actually going out and buying, 24 cans of soda in
the
first
place. Not stealing them.
Well, I wasn't suggesting they'd be stealing them, but you can get fat from things that are not soda.
Oh, yeah, you can, but, I mean, soda definitely is a big factor.
It definitely can contribute. I'm not saying it's not
calories.
A big contributor, but we're making some assumptions here.
You also have to look at the food pyramid that the government pushed on everybody. And
then turned upside down, I think.
They're now pushing. I was just seeing online some government propaganda that basically, and it was naming these things by brands. It was like, Fruit Loops and all this garbage cereal with that's healthy for you, but steak and eggs, that's bad for you. So these are not the people I want making my decisions.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. If you want to comment, you can hear the number 603-283-6160. I worked in retail in the 1990s as one of my first jobs, and I saw people coming through the lines, the people with the 24 packs, the flats of soda, literally an entire cart loaded full of multiple packs of soda, and these were not the wealthy looking types, right? These were some of the poorest of the poor.
Yeah, one thing I have to say is it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, you will definitely see people drinking a lot of soda just in general. I think
in the U.S.
Actually, the more disturbing things isn't honestly, I think that a restaurant would serve a kid soda because I mean, let's be honest, it's a restaurant. When you go out to eat often, especially for families, it's sort of a celebration. So letting the kid have some soda ain't necessarily like the worst thing. The thing that's worse is really, I think, when parents are serving things like, soda to their kid in little baby bottles.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
Wow.
Dad,
wow.
I'm not sure how common it is, but it's a thing.
Oh,
and
boy.
I remember that from when I was, I was a little kid myself. And, and I heard like about this parent who would serve their and this kid was heavy, but it was they were like, is this abuse? Like, I mean, because every day the parent would give their kid, their really young kid, soda.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, parents are going to do things you disagree with. I mean, that's whether it's serving them food that that you don't think's appropriate or letting them walk to the bus stop alone. Like, some people get upset about the sort of free-range kids concept. So there's all kinds of disagreements about how people should raise their kids. As far as I'm concerned, they're your kids. You decide. It's, it's up to you, and good
your
luck
kids,
with it.
Your kids,
your problem. Yeah, exactly. But yet there's still these prohibitionists like Sarah. I mean, she's not the worst in that she is at least willing to say, adults shouldn't have this regulation placed upon them. So, I mean, we tried to see if she would go that way, and she didn't. But there are people like the person we started the show out with here tonight over at The Atlantic, Matthew Loftus, who believes that in the United States, we've rolled prohibition back too far. He says about that, he says, when arguments are made for loosening the government's restrictions on vice, usually proponents make their case with idealistic situations, like shouldn't responsible independent adults be able to make decisions for themselves about how they spend their money or use their body? This seems appealing. And there are certainly well-informed adults who gamble and use marijuana judiciously. But focusing on these ideal cases and basing our laws on them disregards millions of people who suffer because of their addictions, and it obscures the underhanded tactics of companies who make money off the misery of addicts.
So we should go to the trouble and expense of throwing people in prison, because otherwise people will suffer the natural consequences of their own decisions.
That's basically the argument here, that somehow you're going to help these people by threatening them with a jail cell instead of the other normal natural consequence of running out of money, mortgaging your house, getting in upside down over in your car or whatever, just to pay your gambling debts.
God got it wrong when he designed the world, but luckily the government's here to fix it.
He says these debates expose a conflict over what we believe about virtue and vice. If we think that human beings, especially young people who are forming the habits that will last a lifetime, tend to make decisions based on what they have reason to be their best interests, then legalization makes sense. If life is a series of contracts we enter into freely, then there's no reason to keep potential harms off our smartphone or out of storefront dispensaries. However, this way of seeing the world overlooks the fact that our hearts and mind are shaped not only by reason, but also by our experiences, affections, and most important, our habits, which are just as often inexplicably self-destructive as they are reasonable. He says a rise in access to legal gambling will inevitably lead to a rise in gambling addicts. Natasha Dowshall's book, Addiction by Design, carefully documents how electronic slot machines are designed to get players addicted. One game designer says, quote, once you've hooked them, you want to keep pulling money out of them until you have it all. The barb is in, and you're yanking the hook, unquote. Sports betting companies have enticed colleges and universities to allow them to promote their products on campus, then offered free bets to lure customers in. I mean, don't you think this has gone too far, guys? I mean, we're tempting the youngest among us to create gambling habits. Isn't that dangerous?
Yeah. You learn to make good decisions by screwing up and saying, hey, I could have done better.
Indeed. We're going to continue here. Your thoughts are welcome. If you want to weigh in, we got time for you. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. More from the Prohibitionist on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. The White House says it will commit federal resources to East Palestine, Ohio, for as long as it takes, following the derailment of a train that released toxic materials. Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown says he'll keep up the pressure on Norfolk Southern Railway.
We will hold them accountable to make sure every resident is made whole in this community. Can get back on track. Sorry, the pun there, but this community can do what it needs to do to move forward.
Four U.S. troops were wounded in a helicopter raid that killed an ISIS leader in Syria earlier today.
Conducted a helicopter raid against an ISIS senior leader, a man named Hamza al-Hamzi. And he was overseeing the group's deadly terrorist network in eastern Syria before he was killed in the raid.
Officials said the troops and a military dog were treated at a U.S. medical facility in Iraq. The four, part of U.S. Special Forces. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. You can join us. We're talking about the prohibitionist mindset, the people that just can't allow other individuals to make decisions for themselves. And
they're terrified that somebody, somewhere, might be having a good time.
Yeah, indeed. And might make a decision that might be the wrong decision. Might be. But no, we've got to threaten them with prison in order to stop them from making an otherwise choice that could harm them in some way. But we'll continue with that discussion here.
Most of my money I spent on wine, women, and song. The rest I just wasted.
We continue here, though, with Ken. He's on the line listening in Texarkana. Ken, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
How you doing,
hey,
sir?
What's on your mind? Go ahead.
I love what you guys do.
Thanks.
The young lady that called before about wanting to bring restrictions on soda for children,
mm-hmm.
and possibly elders, and the harm and the diabetes and all this and that, whatever. The harm is not the sugar. It's not real sugar in all the sodas. If you go to a soda fountain, it's high fructose
corn syrup. Yep.
And 99% of all corn produced in the United States is GMO. Mm. And
are about 80% of the people post vaccine.
Me too. So I'm on that boat too. And
you took the vaccine?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
Oh, good.
Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And Dr. Joel Wallach has another remedy. All of them are natural, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin has an enzyme in it that dissolves the spike protein. And it's natural. It's easy to make. There's no patent on it anymore. Mm-hmm. And why did our government shut that down from us?
Trying to protect profits of Pfizer in this case.
Yeah. Ten poor.
Mm-hmm.
And quite possibly they want a whole bunch of us dead.
Ken, you're a driver, man. Thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
Whatever.
Well, you guys keep the country going. I mean, it's the professional drivers out there that without you guys, you know, we would be stuck in the mud.
It's gotten so hard. It's gotten so hard. And when I shop, I watch. I read labels. I don't buy high fructose corn syrup. I don't eat anything with high fructose corn syrup. But when I'm on the road,
gets harder.
I drink lemonade. But you buy it at the soda fountain. Some of that crap is got it in it.
Yeah, it does.
And I can't help it. But if we watch that, you watch the diabetes go down.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to make those comments and her research and all that, do the research. Do the real research. But I thank you guys for what you do. And I am from New Hampshire.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Originally. Yes. I've trucked all over this country. I lived in New Hampshire. I used to truck from Maine to California when I lived in New Hampshire. And I just like the weather. I'm retired
Wait, so you're not driving anymore?
I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that because you guys are in trouble. You can't do Bitcoin. I can't say that. I'm retired and I'm an entrepreneur.
All right, I appreciate it.
Oh, I got you.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for the kind words tonight. Appreciate hearing from you, and feel free to call us back anytime you got some stories from the road you want to tell, because I know if you're a driver, you've certainly got them. And thank you for the call, especially, you know, in encountering the police and state cops and inspections and all that nonsense. You know, there's no group, besides bikers, maybe there's no more libertarian-leaning, I think, group out there than truck drivers. I mean, they get screwed hard by the government. As often as the government can get away with. It's terrible what they have to deal with. So,
well, the government's job is to provide service. The media's job is to provide lubrication.
So we're talking about this piece here at the Atlantic by somebody who is arguing that the U.S. has gone too far in legalizing vice, and he is saying that we can't just let people make decisions for themselves. They might actually have to suffer the consequences from them instead of the arbitrary ones that we want to impose upon them.
See, he should be moving out to California where they make all their decisions for you, and I'm sure that they'd be able to give him everything within the state, nothing outside the state, nothing against the state special.
Unfortunately, I tried to look up this guy, at least quickly. There was no bio on the story. It wouldn't surprise me if he's already in California, but it doesn't say where he's from in this case. But he points out that state laws tend to allow the gambling industry to regulate itself, which means that these companies are expected to identify and exclude their steadiest customers. This has been as unsuccessful as one might expect. As much as 50% of revenue comes from quote-unquote problem gamblers. While one study showed that in 1998, only 4% of gambling revenue from video lottery games came from so-called responsible gamers, just as tobacco companies would go out of business. If people used their products responsibly, gambling wouldn't be a multi-billion-dollar industry if it weren't for addicts.
Well, maybe when people have trouble with paying their taxes, the government should stop taking their money, because obviously they're a problem taxpayer.
That's a good point. And, of course, the government, if it actually cared about people and their monetary situations, it certainly wouldn't tax the poor.
No.
But it actually taxes the poor disproportionately compared to what it does to the rich and the middle class.
Well, they kind of have to. I mean, they could steal every dime from every billionaire in America, and guess what? It would run the federal government for less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wouldn't have any businesses, so they wouldn't have any income. You wouldn't be able to go back and shear them again because you slaughtered them last year.
Now, it's easy enough to pick on gambling addicts, right? I mean, that's one that's going to tug at people's heartstrings. Some of us may have known people in our lives who have been addicted to gaming in some shape or form, whether it be, you know, actually going to a casino or doing an online alternative. But this guy's actually going to go after marijuana legalization in this article, which just seems, it seems so unassailable at this point. It's like, we're way beyond legalization. It was, what was it, 2012, I think, when Colorado and Washington State put legalization into place and, you know, proved basically in a year that the revenues to the state, which isn't the reason why you should legalize, but it is what they do, the revenues from the state, I think within a year or two, exceeded the alcohol tax revenues.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, they proved that, you know, that people didn't go insane because they could use marijuana legally.
People went insane because they lived in California.
Well, California, of course, did medical first in 1996, but it took them a little while to do the legalization. They weren't first to the game on recreational. But, you know, they proved that people weren't going insane because the fact is people were already doing marijuana. People were all over the United States using illegal cannabis prior to it becoming illegal. And so ultimately all they did was they allowed them to come out into public to some extent.
And most of them went to government schools anyway, so they were already crazy.
Yeah, all I'm thinking is, like, it's how do you have a war on marijuana or drugs unless there's drugs, people using drugs?
Indeed.
Yeah, so.
There were a lot of people using marijuana, right, which is why it was the bulk of the war on drugs. It's
right.
Easy to catch, it's bulky, it stinks, it's hard, it's easy to find it.
They had no impact. They had no impact as far as reducing drug use.
Absolutely not.
Well, that, and if they were going to go after cocaine, they'd have to arrest all the politicians and the bankers. That's why powder cocaine was never a big deal.
The crack,
was.
He says marijuana has a more complicated legacy, especially because it has real but rather modest benefits for medicinal use, which is insulting, by the way, for him to say they're modest. I mean, we've literally seen people who have crippling physical and physiological issues that have managed to dramatically reduce those issues with one toke. Or one drop of, you know, a tincture or something under a tongue, or one toke of some. We had a guy who was here in Keene a few years ago who had seizures. You know, that's a big problem, right? Like, you having a seizure anytime is never a good thing. And taking regular doses of a marijuana tincture completely ended seizures for this man. So to say that, and it wasn't to the point where he was getting high. It was just, you just had to take enough to where the seizures didn't happen. But to say that that would be modest in any way, shape, or form, that's a life-changing benefit. And that's just one person that I have known, and I've seen, you know, plenty of footage online of other people who have had serious maladies solved by a simple toke of cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Careful analysis shows, says this guy, that marijuana legalization has contributed to a rise in opioid-related deaths, especially when dispensaries can legally sell all sorts of cannabis products. How exactly would that be?
Yeah, where are these deaths coming from?
That's kind of...
I'm unfamiliar with a single...
Last I heard, opiate-related deaths dropped 25% in states that legalized weed.
Yeah, and I know people personally who used cannabis to get off of opioid addictions.
Yeah?
An old roommate of mine down in Florida 20 years ago... was able to beat, you know, he had a pill problem. He was popping hydrocodones. He was shooting them up.
Ooh.
And he was able to get off of that by using what he described as the marijuana maintenance program. And this was long before, you know, any kind of medicinal marijuana was available. Permitting dispensaries, he claims, also increases referrals for addiction treatment, which is unsurprising considering that higher potency products are more dangerous. Well, isn't that what you would want? If you have dispensaries that are allowed, if that's increasing referrals for addiction treatment, doesn't that suggest that people are feeling more comfortable getting treatment for the things that are wrong with them? I don't know. Obviously, I don't necessarily believe what this guy's touting as far as his claims and his statistics and studies, but I wouldn't necessarily say that people going for addiction treatment is an indicator of something wrong. Like, that's an indicator that people are feeling more comfortable getting treatment. That's a good thing.
I mean, I went to AA and NA for 22 years, and I can count on the fingers of one hand the number of people who came in just because they smoked weed. You know, that's not what you're going to addiction treatment for. You're going to addiction treatment because you've got a problem with cocaine, with oxycodone, with, you know, real drugs, meth.
Yeah, I mean, what this guy is citing here, as you pointed out, Nobody, are claims that are just completely the opposite of studies that we've seen previously. And he makes another one here. He claims that the higher potency products are more dangerous. What is that even supposed to mean? Dangerous how? Marijuana doesn't actually harm you in any kind of deadly fashion. No one dies from use of cannabis ever.
You can't overdose from
if you overdose on weed, go to sleep.
You go to sleep.
You feel better when you wake up.
That's it. And he does.
And you're going to go to sleep anyway, because what else can you do?
Yeah, he does link to something here when he says, quote unquote, more dangerous. He links to a study at the National Library of Medicine entitled "The Problem with the Current High Potency THC Marijuana from the Perspective of an Addiction Psychiatrist." And then there, it goes on and on.
Yeah, so those people are liars and they can't be trusted.
Psychiatrists?
Yeah. The whole, I'm trying to think what it's called, but there's a book that is the basis of it, and it's basically the way...
The DSM?
Yeah, the DSM, that's what it is. It's basically the way things get in there is basically people vote on, like, new disease, like, they basically make up new diseases and they vote that it's a
disease.
We
need more things to treat so we can make more money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Homosexuality was listed in the DSM-3 as a mental disorder.
And then it was removed. I wonder why.
Convenient.
I mean, how does a disease just magically appear and then disappear?
It's political.
My problem with it is that, you know, addiction is a spiritual malady.
Mm-hmm.
And a psychiatrist is not going to cure that.
No, they're
going to
get you hooked on some pills.
AA will cure that.
Mm-hmm. No.
It won't cure that. It will give you a way to maintain both abstinence and a high quality life by doing things like surrounding you with relentlessly positive people.
Here's an interesting thing. There's definitely people out there with mental disorders. No doubt about it.
Oh yeah. Sometimes they call this show.
The question is whether or not psychiatry is basically a fraud, and I would argue that it's basically a fraud. Basically,
they're just drug dealers.
They haven't always been that way. They basically provided their services under false pretenses. If you look back at history, and every time they got called out for it, the industry just said, "Oh, well, we reformed, and now we're going to use drugs, or we're going to use, you know, we're going to use lobotomies, or somehow that's supposed to be."
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
They just keep jumping around as to, you know, being, you know, more. You know, they're not torturing people, basically, right? Every time they get called out for torturing people, they just switch what they're doing. And it's like,
you know,
you're not making things
better. Electroshock?
Did they really?
Yeah.
And under what form? What are they calling it now?
They're just calling it electroshock.
Oh. The kinder, gentler version of it?
But according to the woman I knew who had it.
Wow.
Yeah,
what was it being used for, ostensibly?
Major depression. She had borderline personality disorder, but she also had major depression. She had a lot of things going on.
Did the shocking shock it all out of her?
No.
No, I wouldn't think it would.
No.
Yeah, they exploited people back in the day. You know, this was the whole cold bath, the baths thing. That was all like psychiatrist stuff. And then they jumped into,
the lobotomies, and then they did drugs, you know, when they got called out for that. And it's like, if you put somebody on drugs and they don't have, they're not expressing the symptoms, that doesn't mean that they're not feeling the symptoms, right? And that's sort of part of the problem. It's like, just because they don't express those symptoms anymore doesn't mean they're not hurting. You may actually be causing more harm in the process. And that's kind of one of the problems with psychiatry.
Yeah, I feel that's true when it comes, especially to all these people that are on the antidepressants.
Yeah, it's not that, you know, it's not that some drugs aren't potentially beneficial. It's about the money for a particular industry.
Mm-hmm. That's what pharmaceuticals are all about, right?
And it depends.
It is.
Tricyclic antidepressants, for example, fatal overdose.
Yeah.
Very common. You can commit suicide with the pills the doctor gave you for depression.
Yeah.
Isn't that special?
Or shoot up a school and then commit suicide in some people's cases.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not so much that, you know, drugs bad, it's just the way it's often those behind this sort of stuff that is the problem.
Well, you know? But also in some cases, drugs bad. I mean, a lot of these pills, a lot of them don't even pass the sniff test as far as they aren't more effective than a placebo.
Right. And this is sort of the, you know, people exploiting, you know, other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the regulations didn't stop it from happening.
No.
Of course, then again, given that everybody has their own individual body chemistry, I'm gonna pay play some devil's advocate and say there's definitely there are cases where beneficial drugs will not outperform the placebo because they make half of the people who take them better and the other half worse. So if you give them only to the half that gets better, then you're ahead of the game.
Well, the fact is the placebo makes people better, too.
Well, you can.
In a lot
definitely.
Of cases.
Yeah.
There's a really interesting book out there called You Are the Placebo, written by Dr. Joe Dispenza, where he spends chapter after chapter just going into so many examples of the placebo effect and how really powerful that the human mind is over the condition of the body. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, the mind and the spirit, you know.
Yeah.
There's I miss going to AA, and, you know, if I could go on a damn bender like I used to, I'd go back. But
I don't think that's required to go back to AA.
Well, it's not required. I just wouldn't feel like I belonged, you know. How much were you drinking? Well, you know, every couple of weeks I'd get a bottle of wine.
Wouldn't you be able to go in as like a sponsor or something? Wouldn't you be like that level? You could just be somebody that they partner up with?
Not really, because
having never been, I don't know
how
that works.
The reason people sponsor people is to help themselves. Even than to help the person that they're helping. So my idea, and the thing that I still hope I'll get off the ground, is a lot of my church was based on the spirituality of AA, which was, you know, easy does it, live and let live, you know. Surround yourself with positive people if you can find them.
Mm-hmm. Good advice.
You know, have some faith. Prayer actually helps, and it doesn't necessarily require a God for it to help, because praying can be what Freud would call giving yourself permission to change.
That's a great point.
You know, so...
Well, especially if you believe that we're all little pieces of God as well. Let's go to the phones
indeed here.
Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
Randy.
Randy, where are you calling from?
Southwest Arkansas.
Welcome, sir. What's on your mind?
You sound like it, sir.
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
I want to tell you about, I'm mentally ill. I'm labeled paranoid.
Who isn't these days?
And I think I'm a little bipolar, too.
Okay.
But I take a medicine called Melaril, and I'm perfectly medicated 365. Medicine changes in equinoxes and solstices. And as the equinoxes and solstices come forward, about a month before, month or so before and after my ultrasonics, I test my blood pressure. And when my blood pressure goes up in Equinox a little bit, I increase my medicine half a pill at a time until the Equinox comes, and then I'm perfectly medicated. In a Soltis, blood pressure goes down and you need less medicine. I take a pill and a half in a Soltis and three pills in the Equinox, and I adjust it half a pill at a time by my blood pressure.
And what is this, and you feel like this benefits you? How does this help you?
It makes me level-headed. I have the same personality year-round.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a good sense of reason. I studied reason, philosophy, astrology, and my medicine. And
one of these things is not like the others.
I'm perfectly medicated, 365.
All right, well, hey, if it's working for you, I'm not going to take it away from you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Anything else
different
you want to share?
Strokes for different folks.
No, I feel sorry for mentally ill people. It's a terrible life.
Yeah.
Yeah, my concern is, honestly, it's just that they often create more problems, psychiatrists, and they cause problems to worsen rather than actually help people get better.
Yeah, Malarell, all it is a central nervous system pressure that lowers you or raises you. It's not like a lot of those medicines.
Very good, sir. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate your personal experience. It's like, yeah, everybody's different. Everybody's got a unique structure inside them. And, you know, if pills are working for you and you feel like it's a benefit, then God has blessed you. I wish you the best. Personally, it doesn't feel right for me. You know, I don't want to be on those things for the rest of my life.
It sometimes it's good to be a little bit skeptical of people telling you know how to solve your problems.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, the best person to solve your problems is you. It's not always somebody else.
Indeed. What I'll do is I'll put this story up on our social media. There's a little more from the prohibitionist guy. If you want to see the rest of what he has to say, I'll drop it up on social.freetalklive.com. You'll find it at the @FTL account. So if you're not following that account, you should follow that, and we'll give our show prep and stuff like that to you there. And in the meantime, between now and tomorrow night, don't forget you can join Chris tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern on his show, Freedom Decrypted, at freedomdecrypted.com. And check out Nobody at getcell411.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.